We continue our learning. We're Masechta Shabbos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Hey. By way of introduction, we need to discuss the principle of Malacha She'ena Tzricha Lagufa. Malacha, which is Eina Tzricha, literally not needed Lagufa for itself, for its purpose. And this is a principle we have throughout Masechta Shabbos and is subject to Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. What is a Malacha She'ena Tzricha Lagufa? Sometimes the best way to explain it is to give an example. So one of the examples that we typically give is take the malacha, for example, of killing, of shochet, of which is what tilas deshama. So if a person has, let's say, there's a snake that's about to attack a person, and a person kills the snake. So we say, well, that's a malacha. He did the malacha of shochet, of nitilas desham, of taking a life of a creature, which is a prohibition, a Torah prohibition in general, one of the 39 malachas. However, generally speaking, when it comes to killing that was done in the Mishkan, so they would take the life of an animal in order to use it, in order to use the skins, let's say, of the tachash, of some of the animals that they would have in the Midbar. So there, when you take the life of the animal, it's to use it for a positive purpose. Here, I'm taking the life of the animal to protect myself. So that's an example of a malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa. You have the same thing when it comes to, okay, the Mishnah speaks about carrying out, we'll learn later on in the Masechta, carrying out a dead body from the house. The body is rotting and there's a smell we don't want to have in the house. So we do the malacha of hotzav, carrying, and bring it from the Rishus Hayecha to Rishus Harabim. So this is not because I want the body necessarily where I'm bringing it to the cemetery, because I can't bury it on Shabbos. So here, the purpose is not the positive mitzvah of taking the body to a place where I want to bury it, but rather to remove it from the house because of the smell. So that's another example, malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa, which is subject to a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says, you're chayev d'oraisa, it's like any other malacha, whether it doesn't matter what the purpose is. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's a malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa. It's where you do the malacha not for its guf, not for its primary purpose. So that definition is some, and according to Rabbi Shimon, it's only an Isser d'Rabbanan. We could say Pater Avalasser, Machlokes, Rishonim, who we pass on, the Rambam rules of Rabbi Yehuda, and others do like Rabbi Shimon. We usually follow the opinion of Rabbi Shimon that would be only an Isser d'Rabbanan. Now, what is a Malacha Ein Shilaguf? How do we define that? So Tosis of the opinion is very simple. A Malacha Hatzricha Lagufa, which everyone agrees to Chayah for, is when I do the Malacha for the purpose of which they did in the Mishkan. So in the Mishkan, they killed an animal to use the skin, they trapped an animal to use the skin, they did carrying in order to have the object in place B instead of place A. So therefore, I'm going to be chayv. If I do it for a different purpose than they did in the Mishkan, I'm killing the animal to protect myself. I'm trapping the animal to protect myself. I am carrying the body so it's not in the house, not so much to where I want to bring it. So that is a malacha she'ena tzricha lagufa. Subject to machlokes, Rabbi Shimon, who says patra v'alasa, and Rabbi Yehuda says yichayv d'oraisa. Rashi doesn't learn that way. Rashi seems to learn that the general definition of Eina Tzricha Lagufa is not Mishkan versus not Mishkan, but rather it's whether I'm doing a positive act or it's what we call Siluk. I'm removing a negative, something undesirable, and I want to do the Malacha in order to remove that. That's the way Rashi understands it. Those are the two famous opinions. And a third opinion of that, which is attributed to the Baal HaMor, says, when I do the Malacha, where the malacha has a purpose to benefit an object, but in this case, I'm benefiting something else, another object, than the one I'm doing the malacha on. So, take the example of where I kill the snake. So it's not because I want to say something from the snake I want to use. It's rather that's one object. I'm the object that I'm trying to protect. So in such a circumstance, that would be a malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa. So our Mishnah is going to apply this principle to the malacha of extinguishing a fire, mechaba, one of the malachos. And here, the Mishnah will see the same machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, although we'll see different players here, different Tanoim, but we will attribute their opinions to the famous Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. HaMechabe es HaNer, says the Mishnah, person extinguishes a fire. Now, in the Mishkan, and generally speaking, the positive purpose of extinguishing is in order to create charcoal, which has a very high level of heat and a high degree of heat, and the more we extinguish, allows us to create charcoal. Just to extinguish the fire for the purposes of not having blowing it out, so that would not be necessarily that which was done, the same purpose that was done in the Mishkan. So the Mishnah begins, HaMechabes HaNer. Why am I extinguishing the fire? Because of non-Jews, certain religions, we speak about this in Masechet Shabbos regarding Hanukkah as well, would not allow having lights, candles on the day of their particular festival. So it was dangerous to have them. So that's why I'm extinguishing my fire. Or if they list them, I'm afraid robbers are going to find me and attack me. So I want to extinguish a flame on Shabbos. Nei Ruach Ra, a Ruach Ra, which is literally an evil spirit. A person, let's say, is in state of depression. They really need the light to go out because it's trouble, it's bothering them. Or I'm extinguishing the fire. A person who is sick needs to sleep. Says the Mishnah, Potter. The Mishnah says you are Potter, you are exempt, which we usually assume is Potter Avalaser. Now, who is the author of this halacha? So at first glance, I say, I'm extinguishing a fire, and it says you're Potter, you're not going to be chai for this. So this looks like Rabbi Shimon's opinion. So actually, it is not Rabbi Shimon's opinion. This Tana follows Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that a person in general is going to be chai for malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa. But in this Mishnah, we are looking at cases where I'm extinguishing the fire for purposes of pikuach nefesh. Now, what level of pikuach nefesh are we talking about? So that's an interesting question. Is there a specific indication that it's pikuach nefesh here? Some Rishonim say, or maybe not. Am I sure that the robber is going to get me, or the non-Jews, the Persians, or a person is in a state of depression? What about the person who's ill? So this also, there may be, we're probably talking about someone where it's pikuach nefesh, where there's a chance that if I don't extinguish the fire, they may now deteriorate. So that's also some discussion. Now, if we know someone, we know for sure that if they don't sleep, let's say in this case, their situation will, so the condition is definitely going to, deteriorate. So then that certainly is pikuach nefesh. But either way, these are cases that where there is some degree of pikuach nefesh. And when it says pater here, pater does not mean pater of alasar. Here, pater means that it's mutter. There's absolutely nothing wrong with this at all. But this is Rabbi Yehuda, which basically Mishnah is saying like this. The only reason why I allow you to extinguish the fire is because there may be some degree of pikuach nefesh here. But if it were not pikuach nefesh, then you would be, we assume you would be chayav. And that is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. As the Mishnah continues, kechas al aner, if I'm blowing out the candle, not because of goyim listim ruach ra, or a chole, but I'm concerned about the candle, which means I want to, maybe the light is going to crack, maybe it's because it's too hot, or kechas al Hashem, and I want to save some of the oil. I already realize our meal's over, so I'm going to blow out the candle because I want to save, why use up the oil for no reason? Kechas al psila, or I have concern about the wick itself. Here, I want to, whatever the wick is left, I want to salvage what's remaining of the wick. So says the Mishnah, now chayev. Chayev mamet chayev doraisa. Now, why am I chayev doraisa? In these cases, I'm blowing out the candle. It's true, I want to save the oil, save the candle. But that's not the reason in the Mishkan they did the malach of extinguishing. I'm not, do this not for the purpose of creating charcoal. And this is not the positive purpose, let's say, following Rashi's definition of tzricha legufa. This is not, this is removing a negative. I don't want, my shemen to go out, to be ruined, to be lost. I don't want my wick to be lost. So you're going, so in this case, Rabbi Yishimon, who holds malach hashen Shaina Tzricha Lagufa is Pater, he would say Pater here. Yet the Tanakhama here says Yechayef. And therefore, this entire statement, where it's Mutter for Pikuach Nefesh, but it's Chayef de Oraisof, where I'm trying to salvage the wick, the oil, the candle, etc., that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Malacha Shaina Tzricha Lagufa is still Chayef. But Rabbi Yosei, Poter B'chulon. Rabbi Yosei says they're all exempt. Chutz min ha-psila, except the case of the wick where I'm extinguishing to save the wick. What for? Because Meneshos ha-pecham. Because we're talking about a wick that had not been singed at all. And the purpose of igniting it is now in order for I'm able to make, eventually use it for the creation of charcoal. And that's why that would be prohibited, because that would be a malacha hatzricha legufa. So Rabbi Yossi essentially is Rabbi Shimon's opinion, who says patra avalasa in all of these last cases where you're just doing it to save the candle, save the oil, etc., unless you're doing it for the purposes of creating a situation where I have a wick and now I'm going to create charcoal, and the other situation is going to be only Aser D'Rabbanan and not Aser D'Oraisa. Perek Beis Mishnah Vav, Al Shalosh Averos Noshim Mesos B'Shas Le'Dasan. Mishnah says in three situations, unfortunately, women may pass away as they're giving birth. What do you mean giving birth? And these are mitzvos that are usually designated for women to perform. And the purpose of mentioning Shas Leida is only because a woman who's in childbirth is in a dangerous situation. And we know that HaSatan Mekatreg B'Shas HaSakana, that at times, or as the Bar Tanur says, B'Shas HaSakana Mizumon Peranusa, there's a greater chance of someone being harmed or, God forbid, losing their life. And that's because they don't have that. We need, in dangerous situations, we need a special zechus in order to protect us. In regular situations, we assume from Hashem. Hashem protects us. But here, and this would be true not only b'shas leida, but in any situation of sakana. And what are these special mitzvos that they're supposed to perform, where they're now at risk, they're at jeopardy of a loss of life if they're not careful with them? Al she'enon the heroes benida, and the laws of taras hamishpacha, which primarily falls on the woman, uvechala, separating chala, which is very important, as we know, nida potentially could be an iser kares upon the husband and wife engaged in intimacy during that time, if she's not careful. Chala is an iser misa b'dei shamayim if you eat the tevel, and uvahadlakas haner, and lighting candles. Now, lighting candles is referring to the fact that the candles need to be lit before Shabbos. And if they wait too long, they light on Shabbos. So that's also a very severe prohibition of Chilul Shabbos. And this also is where women are now or would be in jeopardy if they're not careful in this regard.